beloved congregation, we have read to you this evening the prophet Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and we read there in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. From all eternity was the Son of God elected and predestinated by his Father to become the surety, the mediator, and the head of the covenant of grace. And the Father had laid upon him that great work of salvation, a work that never could be done by any creature, even by men or by angels, but that only was possible by a person who was co-equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. There was never a person that had suffered in soul and body as Christ had done. He came in such depths as no one in the world. We never can explain the depth of it and the weight of it. But he had done it. And he had performed the work that the Father had given him to do, knowing what was following after that he had obeyed his Father in performing all those heavy labors. Because in the last part of that text it said, he shall see his seed. You read about that in Genesis 17 already, and we read also about it in Psalm 2, that the Father would give him the heathens to his inheritance and the ends of the world to his possession. He shall see his seed. His seed, that means those that the Father had given him from all eternity. And there would no claw shall remain in the power of the devil of all that people, but Christ, he shall receive them, one as well as the other. And he shall prolong his days. That means that he shall be mediator as long as the world is standing. Till the end of the world, it shall be in his hand to gather the church and to establish the church. And then the pleasure of the Lord that shall prosper in his hand. That means everything that comes against it, that is in the world and that is in our own heart. I have not to say many words about that, because You have heard that truth for so many, many years. That God had looked from heaven, whether that there was one that was seeking him. And that the outcome in Psalm 14 and in Psalm 53, the outcome that is, and he found none. And we have not to go to our neighbors, no, not at all, people. We can stay in our own heart. And if we have received grace from the Lord, then we shall more and more fall upon it with our whole heart. If it was dependent congregation in our life, from one sigh, from one cry of men, if it was dependent upon that, then there was never any hope. No. Never any hope. Because there are coming times in our life that we have to realize that it is so empty, so empty. And so dry that there is nothing. Nothing. But now, the pleasure of the Lord that shall prosper by the hand of Christ. And he shall fulfill all his counsel. That was in the Old Testament, and that is also in the New Testament. And that shall remain till the end of the world. This evening, I will say something about that to you. My text is in the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter, verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Thus far. We have here in this text the first fruit upon the first sermon preached on the day of Pentecost. And we see here first the glory of God's work. Second, the greatness of God's grace. And finally, the rich ministration of the Holy Spirit. You know, that on the day of Pentecost, there happens with the disciples three things. When that Spirit was poured out in their heart and in their midst. They were established in the state for eternity. Before Pentecost, then it was always up and down. But with the day of Pentecost itself, then they were established. It was no more an open question whether that the Lord had glorified his grace in their heart. In the second place, they were established in the condition of their life. Because the people, the disciples, they were not without strife. That is not one of God's children. Even when the Lord grant unto us that consciousness and awareness of the forgiveness of our sins, but still they are in this church militant, and they have their ups and their downs. But it was after Pentecost, no more to condemnation, and that the devil had the upper hand. The spirit that led them into all the truth. And time and again they received from the Lord so much light from the spirit that the word of God included them also in the daily condition. And then in the third place, they were established and confirmed in their office. In Luke 5, they were called as visitors of men. But with Pentecost, then they were sent in the congregations. And they were sent over the whole world. Maybe you have also read in some books sometime that even Thomas, that he had preached in Indonesia, that man that goes far away from out of his own country. And you know how it was before that Christ died with him, and even after his resurrection. But they were established in their office. And of course those apostles, that is not now more in our days, but those apostles, they have an extraordinary ministration from the Lord. Extraordinary. They were speaking in different tongues, healing the sick, and that was all limited till the time of the apostles. Later on, then you read no more about it. It is ook not in our days. All that you have in those Pentecost churches, that is nothing from the Lord. That is emotional, and there is nothing of the Holy Spirit involved in it. No. But now, those disciples, the apostles, with the day of Pentecost, they received so much freedom and so much liberty. I would say in my words, they were in that day even not afraid of the devil. So strong were they in faith. You read later on van Luther, when he had to come to Worms and his friends warned him not to go, he said to his friends, I go. Even that the roofs of the houses were full of devils, but I go. And he did. And he was speaking there with so much freedom and with so much liberty. Not afraid of the devil and not afraid of anybody. Because there was people in Jerusalem, devoted men, pious people, that came under impression. But they were also mockers, and they accused the disciples that they were drunk. But it was, of course, it was the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. And as you know, on feast days, only in the afternoon they could drink some wine, but not in the morning. And now Peter, he goes not so deep into that to defend himself. No. En dat is ook something, maybe I can say a few words about that too, why. That he was so calm. Because, yeah, humorously speaking, if the nows came one person, they say to you or to me, you was Wednesday evening drunk. Yeah, then you say, man, drunk. I was not drunk. No, who tell you that? And so on and so forth. And yeah, I say that now more in simple words, because it could well be that there came so much out of our mouths that you thought, I never have thought that that man was so harsh. No. But now the disciples, they were so calm, oh, so calm. And what was now the reason, especially with Peter, that he was so full of love. Not hatred, no, but full of love towards that people that he was talking, towards whom he was talking about. Because what had taken place in his life, that was ook in his mind and in his heart. Peter placed himself not above that people, no. And not against that people, but he was standing to a certain extent on the same level. And I go no further into that, but twice then Peter told them that they have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. That is some accusation. And then you read in verse 37. Now when they heard this, that they have murdered Christ and killed him, they were pricked in their heart. They took it over. There are three things with that people. Four things. Four. In the first place, they bowed under it. In the second place, they broke down. And in the third place, they start to pray. And in the fourth place, they were seeking the Lord. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And that is now an evidence congregation in the life of God's children, that we don't know what to do. There is so many people that knows it. They must not be instructed. No. Because if you know it, then you need no instruction. But if you don't know it, if you don't know it, and they did realize that there have to happen something, but what there must happen with them, they know nothing about. No. And then Peter, he carried with him what? Pocketbook full of silver and gold? Yeah, no penny. No. But he carries something else with him. You know it, boy? Yeah, you know it. The treasure of the gospel. That was what he was carrying with him. And then he said to the people, repent. And baptize. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He did not say to that people, go to Christ. No. 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 But he said, repent. Sometime I came out of my church in Grand Rapids, walking to the car to go home, and then there came a man running to the car. He said, the gospel that you have to preach. I say, law and gospel, and then I go away. Law and gospel. Because the gospel had no value without the law. Christ came in the world to do three things in regard to the law. To take away the curse of the law, because we all lay under the curse of the law. We are all condemned. All of us. In the second place, in regard to Matthew 5, verse 19, you know the text of course, only, I hope so. Then he came to fulfill the law, right? And then Isaiah 17, to glorify the law. To give the law as a law of love in the hearts of his renewed people. That are the three things. And then he said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then the text, verse 40, said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this outdoor generation. With many other words. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and he had not to look for words. No. You cannot realize it flow out of his mouth. Augustine said once in his life that he had a desire. Of course, it could never become reality. But he said, I have a desire sometime in my heart to hear Peter on the pulpit preaching the gospel. Because you cannot realize with what a love and with what an opening and with what a freedom and what a liberty that he had preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then our text said, then they that gladly receive his word were baptized. It is not only that the text said, they that received his word, but it said, they that gladly received his word were baptized. Gladly. It was only for that people a short time. And then you see the sovereignty of the Lord again in that too. There is people amongst God's children in the world that is in bondage their whole life. Hebrews 2. In bondage. All the lifetime. Shall that people never receive something for their heart? Yes. Oh yes. They shall have moments for himself that they have rest in their soul and peace in their heart. But before that they come in contact with other people, then there is so much strife again and so much darkness that they keep quiet, that they cannot talk. That the devil is there and he said, boy, be careful. Be careful that you not open your mouth, because you are nothing else as a hypocrite. A hypocrite, huh? Because we are born as hypocrites, eh? You know that too? We are born as hypocrites. But the Lord make from hypocrites sinners. That's the wonder of the Lord, yeah. And there is in the church people that received God's word. But now, of course, that people there that received the word gladly, there was such an overwhelming power by the word of God in their heart that there was no doubt. They were for a little while condemned, because we never come to the knowledge of the gospel without condemning ourselves, and that the law condemned us. Shorter or longer. But there is for all that people a certain time that that happens. And there is in the church people that receive the word with their mind, that would not sing against it. There is people that is persuaded in their conscience. A blessing. Oh, Kalamazoo, a blessing, a blessing. Even that it is with our mind and that it is with our conscience. That's not enough for eternity. No, I know it. And you know it too. That is not enough for eternity. I will say something to you to explain that closer. If we were brought up under the word of God and we have respect for the word of God and love for the word of God, what shall be the desire of our heart? That our children, that our grandchildren, that our generation, that had stay with that too. It is a grief for parents, a grief when the children squandered away from the truth. A burden, one time more than the other, but it cannot be different than that it is a burden. Because I have not to talk about churches this evening, no. No, not about a building, but well about the truth. The truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And I told you that maybe before, but sometime in my traveling, I pick sometime in a plane of another places, some tracks well as up, and sometime then literally you can say nothing against it. No, nothing. That it is really after the word of God. But when it comes to the application, when it comes to the application, then they lay the whole salvation in the hand of men. And that is entirely wrong, people. I am so glad, congregation, so glad that there is a predestination. I am so glad. Because that opened a way for the greatest of sins. And above that, congregation, if you start with Adam and Eve in the beginning of the Bible, it is only two words that I can say about it this evening, but there was never in the world people after them that have walked under such a burden through this world than Adam and Eve. You have ever thought about that? Why? Why? Because Adam sinned not only for himself, but he sinned for the whole human race. For the whole human race, people. And they have experienced that quick in their life. Cain killed his brother Abel. And he go away from the Lord, not never to return back to heaven. And every person shall realize it, people. Two things. Keep it in your mind and the Lord bring it in your heart. But two things, that we have sinned against the Lord. And that we make a separation between ourselves and the Lord. That are the things. And again, it has to start with that. It has to start with that. We cannot skip it over. No. And in regard to the measure and the depth of it, the Lord is free. I will not say to you, it had to go so and it had to go so deep, no. But there must be something of it in our hearts. Read that wonderful verse from Maxine in the front of the book of Hellenbroek, that he was once a stranger of God and his heart. And how that goes further. And the whole way is explained there. The whole way. And as long as we are under it, yeah, the Lord can comfort us in the bioscope, in the show. That can happen. The Lord can comfort us in every place. Years ago, we have a woman in Clifton with a Pentecost. She go with her children on a boat for pleasure on the Hudson River to have fun. And they were not so long from the wall and then from the shore. And then the Lord came in their heart. And the Spirit reproved that woman of sin, righteousness, of judgment. I was so many times in their house, and I have heard that so many times as she talk about it. On a pleasure, on a boat of pleasure, that the Lord comforted. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. No. But people, be careful now. If I would say I go someday now with some boat, the Lord can comfort me there. It is awful. If he would say some things, then could well as be that we die on the boat and that we sink in hell. Really. And now that Peter, he preached there the word of God with all love in his heart to the welfare of that people, the welfare of the soul. If it was in his power, he had converted all those people there. There were thousands and thousands and ten thousands people there in that Jerusalem. The tradition said that on some feast days, that there were more than 100,000 people out of other countries. More than 100,000 people. And in the multitude of the subjects is the king's glory. Right? Oh, but would it be in gladness, people, if the preaching of the word have thou that fruit, that sinners be converted, that they take over their condemnation, that they take over God's justice, and that they learn to bow under it. That it is right forever, forever, if the Lord casts us away in hell. We have to learn that for our soul, people. And to learn to beg for grace, to beg for grace. That people have done that because they came in a condition for themselves so terrible, so desolate, so wretched, so poor, so condemned. But now the Lord had not left that people so long in that condition. No. The text said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. There is a text in Psalm 119 that said, the opening of thy word that give light. That gives light. And if the Lord regenerates us, people, then from that same moment we love the Lord, we love his ordinances, we love his precepts, we love his people, we shall love his servants, we shall love his house, and we shall love his word. Oh, sometimes the sweetness that there is in the word of God, and especially the text said, then they that gladly received his word. Because how was that now possible that they received that word? And that they received that word with gladness. What was now the secret of it? The secret was that the Holy Spirit, that he applied that immediately to the heart. They were in the day of Pentecost 3,000 people converted. A wonder. But there is a greater wonder than that. That we are included in those 3,000. Because I am not included in it, then I am standing outside, people. And now every minister that have to make an application in his sermon, those that are sitting under it, that they have also to make an application. Because we have to come to ourselves and to ask ourselves the question, what do I know about it? What do I know about it? But that is not the main thing. There is a necessity by the minister, a necessity by the hearer, but the main thing that is congregation, that the Holy Spirit apply it to our hearts. We can sit under the truth. It shall happen here in Kalamazoo too. I believe it. There shall be people that is sitting under it, and that would say that man that talks out of an heart, and that preaching or that reading from that people that you hear every Sunday now, that is sweeter than honey and a honeycomb. But they leave the church, they go out of the church, and they are the same person. The same person. Was it then not true? Was it then only in their emotions of in their head that they were sitting there and that they said, I would well stay there in that church? No, that was not in their emotions and that was not in their mind, but that came out of their heart. But the Holy Spirit had not applied it personally to the soul. And that is the main thing. And so long, if that not happens, then we are standing outside of it. In other words, then we are standing on our own side. And if the Spirit applies it, then we come on the side of the Lord. That is now the difference. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. They received that word gladly. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, had made room in their heart for that word. That was the reason that they could receive it. You know, the disciples itself, when they were born and grow up, then they all go to the temple and to the synagogue. That was the only church that there was. But then later on, as John the Baptist came on Jordan to preach, and then the several of the disciples, they go also there. And their heart was opened under the preaching of John the Baptist, because he was a preacher of righteousness. He said, the kingdom is God that is at hand. You cannot die in your religion. You must be converted. Because he started the same with the same thing as later on Peter. Same thing. But then they came to the consciousness that they could not convert themselves. And they were well trying to convert themselves with everybody that the Lord comforts. We try to convert ourselves. We all try him to climb up. To climb up. Moses. But their condition became heavier and heavier. More and more their sins bothered them. It gave a burden to them. And John the Baptist, he could well preach their sins and to a certain extent bring it home to them, but he could not forgive their sins. But there was that John the Baptist, he indicated with his finger and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then immediately they bid farewell to John and they followed Christ. And they stayed with him. He never had left. And so it goes now with God's people too. Under the law, that is the ministration of death. It is not different. Therefore, Paul, he was so glad that he was a minister of the gospel. Because what happens under the law? Moses came from the Mount Sinai with those two tables. And then the people was dancing round about that gold calf. Thank you. God was kindled against their people. And then the Lord is sitting to everyone his sword, and the children of Levi did it. And they killed 3,000 people that were all under the law. Shall we be killed under the gospel? No. Then we are saved under the gospel, but not killed. And I hope you can follow it, people. Under the law, then I have to go to hell. Under the law. With all my work, and with all my inclinations, and with all my prayers, and with all my reading, and with all my reformations, and I have to learn what? That I only be glad inside when the God of all grace did his sovereign grace come in my heart and in his soul. And that he revealed Christ as the only name given under heaven. The little opening that the Lord gave his people in the gospel, that gave them joy and that gave them gladness in God. Then they say, Lord, now I have heard it is possible. It is possible to be saved with keeping thy justice, not only, but also with glorifying your righteousness and all your attributes, because Christ came in between. And he has broken the wine press only, and not one of the nations that was with him. And now, of course, for men, it is an awful thing to place outside on. Oh, yes. That is an awful thing. Because I have no desire to stand outside. No. But there is no other way. Shall Christ be revealed, then he must placed outside. And that we learn that out of the works of the law, that no flesh ever shall be justified. That they that gladly received his word were baptized. They were to circumcise their people on the 8th day. And why must they now be baptized? Why must they now be baptized? With the coming of the Holy Spirit, the church of the New Testament came to the birth, and the new dispensation was there. And now the bloody sacraments of the Old Testament, that was ended. And now the unbloody sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, that was instituted by the head of the church, by the Lord Jesus Christ. But that Jesus Christ, he was despised. I have read it to you this evening out of Isaiah 53. There was never in the world a person, and it is still today, there was never a person who had so much enmity as Christ. Because to believe in Christ, then I have to die. And it cost my life. And I will live. I cannot die. The Lord himself had to bring us to an end. And otherwise people, we are trying with all that is in us to please the Lord, but always outside of that Christ and outside of his mediatorial work. And you see that by the man that was born blind, Christ had already opened his eyes. That man that must first be put out of the temple, and then Christ he found him. And Christ instructed him about the necessity to believe in him. And then that man, he said, Lord, who is he that I shall believe in him? And Christ, he said, I am the one. 'Tis hidden for the wise, not for the prudent. but is revealed to the children. And now that baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Was then the baptizing in those days different? No. But Christ was placed on the foreground, representing the triune God, but the only foundation and ground of our salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, of whom they are despised and disdained and rejected and refused, and now to be baptized, that is now a sign of a healthy spiritual life that risen first after the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, people. It is so necessary. It goes never without our tears. No. It goes never without tears. Those that sow a tears, they shall reap it joy. But we have to learn that our tears is no ground for salvation. I told you years before already, many times, even that all the water of the Pacific Ocean and that Atlantic Ocean goes over our bodies, it shall not profit us. No. But to be cast in that sea of the, in that ocean of the blood of Christ, even that we are so black as a moor, but then whiter than the snow, people, then. And therefore they gladly received now the word, and they were baptized, because they did believe it was for them. It was for them. And that given that freedom and liberty and that desire to surrender himself into the hand of the Lord and to be baptized in the name of that Christ, and to accept him for their own heart and soul as that only mediator and savior, and to experience for himself what we now sing together out of 334. Thy word sheds lights upon my path, a shining light it guides my feet. And what follows 334, the first stanza. What I have to explain to you for this evening, and that is this. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. Did you ever realize, congregation, what a victory that the Lord had there over that people in their heart? That all that was before against that Christ, that was all taken out of the way. That they have accepted truth, that they were knit to the truth, that they were cleaving unto the truth. And that above that they receive now so much light in the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that their only desire was to be buried with him and to raise up with him. Because in baptism, that refers to the death of Christ and to the resurrection of Christ. people in that time also by John the Baptist, they go under the water. And then to go for a moment under the water, that was the same as that Christ was buried in the garden of Joseph of Arimathea. We must be buried with Christ. Paul, he speaks about that in Romans 6, and he speaks about that in Colossians 2 also, to be buried with Christ. Before, I hope that I can explain it simple, that all people can follow it. Now, before, they have never any thought about Christ. No desire after him. No. Pilate, he said, what must I do with Jesus? What must I do with Jesus? Same with me, Lord, and the same with you. But if he become a sinner, and that the righteousness and the judgment of the Lord cut me off, then it become different. And then Christ come on the foreground, who bear the iniquities of his people, and who satisfied the justice of God, and who had brought on an eternal righteousness to apply that to the heart of that people, that they can stand before the Lord without spot or wrinkle among them. And now be buried with Christ and be raised up with him, that he now become all and in all for our soul. There was in the world for that people at that time, and now you must distinct people, you must distinct from all that people that was converted on the day of Pentecost, how free and sovereign that the Lord is. There was not one soul when they left their house that they have said to their wife or to their children, this evening I come back as a converted person. No. Oh, my dear people, they know nothing about conversions at all there. Nothing. The same with me, the same with you. But immediately that the Lord comes, that is different. That is different. David, he said, I love the Lord because he has heard my cry and my supplication. And in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love the Lord because he loved first us. That is on the foreground, people. And then to be one with him. Oh, there are times in the life of God's children that the whole world have no value, not one penny. Not one penny. No. Not one penny. But that they are burned of love for him. And that they say with Job, oh, that I could come to his share. That I found him. That I found him. And the gladdest day for that people, that they are embraced by that Christ, and that they embraced him, and that they may say, he is altogether lovely. Altogether, yeah. I told you that maybe well as before, but it bothers you maybe not. But when I was but a boy, then the Lord, he conferred that by us in that neighborhood a woman, an Eden. She know nothing about it, no. And she had a good married life. Oh, yes, outwardly. But then the Lord converted her. And then the life was so different as before, eh? Yeah? Yeah, she could not help that. Het was zo'n hoedzak van een man ook. Ja, dat is ook weer Hollands vanzelf, but het man, het was zo a lovely man, really, outwardly. I have known him, and I was in his home so many nights that I sleep later on that. And then he said to that wife, he said, yeah, wife, I think there's no more as it was before. No. And he started to cry. Oh, yeah. He said, I think you have no more that love for me as that you had before. And you know what that woman said? Oh, she said, I love you as before. But there is one that had all that have all the love of Manatha. And that is the Lord. And that is Christ. I love him above all and above everything. And that is now when we gladly receive the word of God. You believe it? The time is there, we have to close for this evening, young and old. Maybe another time, Father, if the Lord spared us. But young and old, oh, I hope, from the bottom of my heart, that the Lord impress his word to your heart this evening, that he may sanctify to your soul. We are all travelers to eternity. We have only one soul. And there is nothing so necessary as that the word of God persuaded us, that the word of God for us become a power unto salvation. And that we by the applying of the work of the Spirit in our heart and the greatness and the riches of God's grace, that we receive the word with gladness that it is for me. That it is for me. And when it then is evening that I can lay my head in that pillow to sleep, and that I say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so on and so forth. That is the result of it. That they receive the word with gladness for their heart. Young and old, oh, seek the Lord where he is to be found. And call upon him while he is near. He is so worthy to be served, to be honored, to be glorified. From all eternity, moved in himself to find out a way of salvation and to reveal that in his beloved Son and to apply that by the Spirit in the heart of his children. Then they receive with gladness the word of God and they were baptized. They want nothing else than Christ. If I read that text so that they stuck in order, then it is okay. Really. They accept with gladness the word and they accept Christ in the state of his humiliation and in the state of his exaltation. And that is now all that we need, young and old, great and small. And if it had taken place in our life, oh, that it was revived in our soul, the days that lay behind us, that it was reality, and that we were living so easy in this world from day to day. Psalms even in the night, talking with the Lord, have a conversation with him, and that he speak to our soul. Oh, blessed times, children of God, that we were longing after it. Longing after it. And then the Lord shall not be as a wilderness for our soul, but we shall take water with gladness out of the fountains of life and of his good pleasure. Amen. Lord, that thy word and testimony be sanctified to our heart and to our soul. Remember the congregation, give them their own shepherd and leader. It is all in thy hand, and thou speakest, and it is recommended, and it stands firm. Look upon us further in the other days of the week, and in the week that is coming, thou knowest all that have to take place, Lord. Remember thy covenant. Look upon thy shirts in mercy, gladden our heart in the darkness of the times, and that the Lord may speak, oh, then it shall be easy. Then all the mountains shall be taken away. Remember us in the need of the churches, here at elders. Look upon us in mercy and gladden us together, and that for thy great name's sake. Amen. As oft as he shall call on me, most gracious shall my answer be. I will be with him in distress, and in his trouble I will bless. 249, the fifth stanza. The Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.